Good evening to all of you. Greet you in Jesus' name this evening. It is good to be here, and it's a much more pleasant evening this evening than it was on Wednesday night. Get open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 for a message tonight. I'm going to read the first five verses and focus on verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. So I thought about this service. I'm thankful to be part of a church that has a service like this where we can come together and share our testimony with each other, where we're at in our journey. And as I pondered what to share tonight, this verse stood out to me. I want to read these verses at this time. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 says, "This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before, and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent now I write them, which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?" We'll stop reading there. Just to give a little context to this verse, Paul was defending himself to the church here at Corinth. They were being lured and distracted by false teachers, and they were questioning Paul's authority and his message, and he was writing to them to chide them for this. And he gives them this challenge here in verse 5. He says, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith." Examine yourselves and see if you are for real, we would say in our modern day English. Are we just walking the talk, or are we being genuine? Has Jesus living in your heart made a difference? Tonight, as we look into our hearts, I'd like for us to ask that question. Am I for real? Am I genuine? Who am I when no one else is looking? Am I really who I profess to be? For a title tonight, I'd like to think about being genuine in a culture of facades. Well, what is a facade? Dictionary defines it as the front of a building, or a false or superficial or artificial appearance or effect. And I thought of Stephen's store up here in Tyrone. I don't even remember what that building looked like before Stephen moved in and remodeled it. But that big A-frame piece on the front of Stephen's store was added onto there to make the building look different from the parking lot and from the street. And that's what a facade is. It's there to cover up, in Stephen's case, an old bowling alley that Stephen wanted to convert into a store. Another definition for a facade is an outward appearance that is maintained to conceal a less pleasant or credible reality. That's what a facade is. Sometimes we look at our lives and we use the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and we look at things in our lives and we realize that there's things that are less than desirable. I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we see that. And the temptation for all of us is to just put up a facade, put up something that would make others think that there's nothing wrong, nothing going on in my life. Maybe even a facade to ourselves, to make ourselves think better of ourselves than we really are. Because we know that war we're all in. Paul describes it well in Romans 7. And instead of crucifying that flesh that Paul calls us to crucify, we're just tempted to cover it up and use a facade, because crucifying our flesh hurts. We know that. And it takes too much work, so we just want to make a facade. Facade makes everything look good, but to those looking on, but just behind the surface is that old, ugly building that old bowling alley. And we live in a culture of facades. In America, we live very isolated lives and independent lives, and we can sort of put a front on, if you will. We feel vulnerable if someone would know the actual reality of what is going on in our life. And we have the ability to put distance between us and other people. And we have the ability to build these facades. Just thought about, we had our neighbors over for Chloe's birthday the other night. And just, we sat down and talked. And we hadn't done that for a while. And you find out what's going on in their lives. And just from living across the street, you wouldn't know everything that's going on in their life just by default. But it's very possible for us in our culture to do this. And it's possible for us to do this in church life. When we come to, when our brothers and sisters see us, we have a front on. Here in America, we can borrow money. If we're struggling financially, we can borrow money to put up a facade that things are going well. We're financially successful. Maybe it's we put the right profile picture on because we want to present an image for other people to see. And maybe it's a front we put on when we come to church on Sunday morning. We say all the right things and we do all the right things, but it's all a facade covering up what's going on in our lives. And I don't believe that any of us are guilty of this here tonight, but my heart is that we would examine ourselves and make sure that, like Paul was challenging the Corinthian church to do, examine yourself and find out if you're for real, if you're genuine. Are you really who you say you are? The value of our service tonight is built on that premise, that we're open and honest with each other and that we're transparent and that we're willing to share exactly where we are. Brotherhood is built on openness and transparency. I'd like to think about a couple reasons to be genuine and turn to Psalm 139. I was blessed by the reading of this psalm earlier this week where David invites God to search his life. I want to read verse 1 through 12 and then a couple verses in the end of the chapter. Psalms 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. And let's skip down to verse 23 and verse 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Reasons to be genuine. God already knows. There's no facades with God. We can put up facades for people around us. We can tell ourselves everything is okay, put up that facade even to ourselves. But God already knows. The word pictures here in this psalm that David writes, God knows everything. He knows in verse 2, he knows when we wake up and he knows when we go to bed. He knows our thoughts before we think them. Verse 3, he's acquainted with all my ways. Everywhere I went today, every thought that I had today, God knew what that was. In verse 6, it humbled David when he thought these thoughts. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, he says. And he asked the question, how can I get away from God's Spirit? He said, if I go up to heaven, he's there. Hell, he's there. If I go in the sea, he's there. Darkness and light are like to God. We cannot get away from his presence. It's a reason to be genuine. God already knows. In verse 23, David invites, when he thinks these thoughts of God knowing everything, he just invites God to search me, O God, and know my heart. Can we invite God to do that tonight? Take down the facades in our life and invite God to just, is there something you need me to change? Is there something you need me to grow in? Is there something I need to confess? Invite God to look into our lives. When Jesus walked here on earth, his greatest condemnation was not to those who were sinners, but to those who were self-righteous, those who put the facade on that they were holy and righteous, but inside they were sinners. If you read Jesus' words, he was very harsh with them. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. Read a couple of those, one of those interactions that he had with the Pharisees that had put on the facade. Matthew 23, 24 through 28. He said, "You blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Jesus was God himself. He could see right into the hearts of these men who were trying to trap him in different hard questions. He could see right into them. He could see right into the lives of those around him. He could see Simon's heart when Simon invited him over for a meal. He could see the hypocrisy. They had created their own little world. The Pharisees had created their own little world and gave themselves a lot of space. And Jesus saw right through them. And Jesus exposed them for who they were. And that's what kindled their hatred for him, the way he exposed them for who they really were. Second reason that facades are futile is that they almost always crack and expose the reality. We look in Matthew 7, the story of the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man, he built his house upon the rock. The foolish man, he built his house upon the sand. And everything looked okay until the storm came. It looked like the easier route had produced the same effect until the rain came and the house fell flat. Proverbs says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." It's a reason facades don't work. They eventually crack and fall. And even if they don't in this life, they will be exposed in the day of judgment. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 13 says, "The day is coming when the materials that we're building with are going to be tried with fire. And the facades are going to burn, but only the building materials that are gold are going to stand." Every day we're building something. And are we building a facade, or are we building something that is real? Another reason to not build facades is that they tear down trust. Relationships are built on trust. When we as brothers and sisters know that we can trust each other, it pulls us together and brings us together as a brotherhood. When we know that we're honest with our weaknesses and failures, it deepens our relationships. If we look at each other and realize that we're not being genuine, there mistrust builds. Weakness gets covered up and facades get built. And instead of finding strength for our weaknesses, we find shelter behind our facades, and the problem only worsens. I'd like to look at a number of ways to be genuine. First one is to be humble. Turn to Luke chapter 18. It's a familiar story, but I'm always impressed with the humility of the publican when he went to pray. When he came before God and the attitude of the Pharisee, Luke chapter 18, verse 9. And he, Jesus, spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That's how we're genuine, when we're humble. Both of these men had needs, but only one recognized that fact. One saw himself as having everything put together. He was doing everything right. And the tax collector felt like he had done nothing right. He had nothing to bring. Yet this publican had brought everything that God wants from us. Psalms 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such that are of a contrite spirit. That's what God's looking for tonight in our lives. Just humility, openness, as we come to Him. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says, the last part of the verse, it says, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace unto the humble. A way that we can be genuine tonight is to be humble. It's a requirement. Very similar to humility is honesty. The way we can be genuine is to be honest. Honest with ourselves. It's easy to make space for ourselves. And Paul challenged us in our text verse that we examine ourselves. We don't examine other people. We look into our own life and see how we're doing. What is my relationship with God? Am I genuine? Am I for real? We also need to be honest with our brothers. Ephesians 4, verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things which is the head, even Christ. We come to each other in honesty, sharing where we're at, sharing where our weaknesses are, encouraging our brother in our strong points. We're open and honest. Paul, he gave his testimony in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, but because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul is just being honest with what his past was, but this is where I am today. This is just saying, yes, I have weaknesses. Yes, I'm imperfect. I've made mistakes. But I'm moving forward by the grace of God. I think that's what Paul was saying here. Number three, be approachable. It's natural for us to want to look good. We want to look like we have our life put together. And we naturally want to keep that safe space between us and other people. But I know I'm not able to see all my weaknesses. I need you all to speak into my life and show me the areas that I need to grow. And often when someone comes to us, it's our first response to just throw up those defenses, throw up that facade, and hold everyone at arm's length and say, but wait. But to be genuine, we need to be approachable, where we can come to each other and share a concern in love and know that my brother or sister has my good in mind and not just being critical. We need to be approachable. Well, how can I know that I'm genuine tonight? I think we all want to be genuine. We all want to be open. We all want to tear down those facades and share with each other. But how can I know that I'm genuine? There's many scriptures that we could compare ourselves to our master, to Christ, to know if we are genuine. But I thought of the greatest commandment. Jesus said there's two commandments. Let's read those in Matthew chapter 22. Again, the Pharisees were coming to him trying to trick him. Jesus just cut through that facade and just very basic. He said, this is the greatest commandment. Verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that they had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus saith unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. How can we know if we're genuine tonight? Jesus said, loving the Lord your God with all your heart. Well, how do we know if we're loving the Lord with all of our heart tonight? Is Christ the most important thing in our life? This word all here means all together, every whit, throughout, whole. Does Christ have everything of me? Have I surrendered everything to his control? And that's not something that we can do one time at conversion. I find that continually in my life. Continually, daily making those choices. Am I going to surrender this to Christ? Am I going to allow Christ to have his way in my life today and tomorrow? And as Tim talked about, maturing in our walk with Christ. So we continue to grow. It's a daily process. Daily choice to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Am I genuine? If I'm going to be genuine, I have to love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and mind. And that's going to affect so many areas of my life, so many choices that I make. And the second commandment here is, do I love my neighbor as myself? Those last two words is what hurts our flesh, isn't it? Love our neighbor as ourself. It's easy to love as long as the relationship is benefiting me. But what about when it doesn't? What about when the relationship does not benefit me and it actually goes the other way and costs me something? Am I still genuine? Am I still authentic? Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. These are two characteristics of a genuine person, that they love God with all their soul, mind, and strength, and they love their neighbor as herself. And there's men that are pillars of example of this, and as I look at these two areas, I realize that they are areas that I need to grow in, because my flesh wants to take my way and not surrender everything to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. As we examine our lives tonight, I hope we can test ourselves. Am I real? Am I genuine? And let's tear down any facades that we may have. As we examine, let's be open with God, open with ourselves, open with our brothers and sisters, and then recognize the areas that we need to grow in and accept them as areas that we need to grow in and not build facades. And through that, we can find victory and be ready to commune together on Sunday. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you tonight. In Jesus' name, Lord, thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your Spirit that convicts us of sin and areas that we need to grow. And Lord, I pray that as we open up our lives to your Spirit that and we see areas that we need to confess, pray that you help us, Father, to be genuine, to be real, and to not build facades and to be fake. Lord, just pray that you bless the service here this evening. Pray that you bring glory to your name and help us all to be open and honest before you.